Welcome to Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. I'm your host, Damali Peterman. On this podcast, we invite you to share a conflict that you need help navigating, and I, along with a guest co-host, will share what we would do in that situation to help you reach your breakthrough. Welcome to the show. On today's episode, I am thrilled to have Lisa Chaney in the studio. Lisa, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me. I've been looking forward to this.
Oh, the world has been looking forward to this. Let me tell you. I have to tell you guys, Lisa and I had the great fortune of meeting at a very random private jewelry event. We were walking around and I saw her, I think, what were they, Lisa? Mikimoto pearls or something?
Yes.
Beautiful. And I think she turned around and was like, what do you think of these? And I was like, those are beautiful. If you don't get those, I will. And we just started chatting and we realized we had so much in common. And frankly, that was all she wrote.
That's true. It was a great night to meet you. And a little bit of background about myself. I'm a mother of two boys, 7 and 9. Been married for almost 17 years. And I'm a lawyer. I'm a partner in an international law firm. And one of the little known facts about me, other than the fact that I troll jewelry shows at private apartments to make new friends, is I think I'm the only partner in my law firm who could say bartender and cocktail waitress to partner in 13 years.
So nice.
How about that?
Path to partner. I mean, Lisa, you're so dynamic and incredible. One of the things that I love about you is that you spend so much time mentoring and giving back and finding ways to strike work-life balance, from mindfulness to reading to going to. I feel like you attend so many charitable events. It's incredible. You find time to give back. You work with NJ Leap, is that right?
Correct, and Housing Plus Solutions.
And you received an award from them last year.
That's right. I received the Good Person Award from Housing Plus last year, and we just had the gala last week for this year's recipients, and it was a great success. I'm very proud of that organization.
And you're doing some amazing things, and so we are so delighted to have you in the studio today. For those of you tuning in for the first time, you can simply call in our hotline and leave a message asking a question that you're contemplating. And it doesn't have to be a conflict. It could be anything about what's going on for you and you're not sure how to navigate it. It could also be an actual conflict that you want to hear from someone who's not invested in the outcome. With the co-host on the air for the first time, we play the message and give you some feedback on what we would do in that situation. So, without further ado, let's go to our first message.
You have one message.
Hi, I had a question regarding seeking out different mentors for different stages of your life and career. So the mentor that, you know, one has during law school, for instance, may not be the best positioned person to advise you as you go on through, you know, big law, or, you know, as you become a working parent and professional. And so I was just wondering, you know, what you suggest as far as seeking out and balancing the different mentors that you have along the way. Thanks.
Wow, what a great question.
It's a great question.
Well, gosh, I mean, anyone who knows me knows that I always talk about how it really did take a village to get me from A to Z, and from A to B, and B to C, and C to D. And all along the way, I definitely had a very fluid group of mentors, which is why now my board of directors in life is, you know, 2 or 3 pages long. I think that one of the best pieces of advice that I could give about really seeking out and finding the right mentor, or really, you know, seeing somebody to, you know, aspire to be like, or to follow in their footsteps, is, you know, look around and see who are the folks that are at that next level, who's done what you are trying to accomplish, and simply ask and say, hey, I want to be like you. I want to be on the path that you're on. How did you get there? Can you give me some advice? I find that asking for help is something that people so rarely think to do, and that's always the way. And I think that tapping into your current mentors and saying, I want to get to this next level, do you know people? Can you introduce me to people? If you ask, people are always willing to help. That would be my best advice.
I agree 100%. And to add to that, I think that sometimes people think of mentoring as going in one direction, right? Mm-hmm. It's like, what do I need? How do I get to the next phase? One of my best mentors said to me, mentoring is a two-way street. I'm going to be there for you, but when I need something from you, I need you to be there for me too. And that was so mind-blowing to me because it never occurred to me that I could help my mentor.
That's right.
And so I would also think of ways, caller, to figure out how you can be helpful to people that you're seeking out to. And it doesn't have to be, you know, a situation where you're like, oh, I can do this for you. Maybe you've read an article that they would find helpful that you can send to them. Maybe you have a connection in your network. What's amazing about LinkedIn is there's so many people that we're connected to that you could make a connection or you could be a referral for a mentor for something that they're working on or thinking about, or maybe just having coffee with them, they'll reveal to you that they're thinking about writing a book or they want to start riding a bike.
Yes.
And you may have all the bike paths memorized in Connecticut, for example.
And I think another, you know, interesting thing for people to note, especially with, you know, as the caller mentioned, you know, different stages of your life, whether it's going from undergrad to law school or graduate school or having a baby or coming back from maternity leave or any of these things, sometimes it doesn't even have to be such a formal mentoring situation. Sometimes it's just getting exposed to other people and becoming a part of a group of people who have been there and just listening to their stories. So it doesn't have to be a formal sit down, let me give you some advice. And I find that, you know, getting in and around people who are willing to be really open is helpful. I know that at least in my world, I've had a lot of young men and women come to me or be sent my way about becoming, you know, a parent on the job. And I think initially it's been hard for people to sort of, you know, start that conversation. And I'm very open with people that, you know, maybe it looks all buttoned up and dressed up sitting here today, but, you know, there have been, you know, mornings that my hair dryer broke and I missed my train and it was raining and I was late to a meeting. And then halfway through the day, I realized I was wearing two different shoes. And then there are other days that I'm, you know, perfectly coiffed and knocking it out of the park. And I think, oh, aren't I being, you know, a really great, you know, all things to all people today. So I think just finding people that are willing to be open with the reality of the situation sometimes helps, you know, break down that, you know, sort of scary wall.
Absolutely. And I love that you provided that insight, Lisa, because I feel like most people think that the path to greatness or success there's only one way. And I also think that there's a variety of different ways that you can figure out what is success, and that could change from moment to moment. And so I like that you said sometimes you have it all together and sometimes you don't. And I think that most people can relate to that. I know that I can relate to that too, down to having on two different pairs of shoes. I've done that too. But guess what? I still walk proudly and strutted with one black shoe and one brown shoe.
If you keep your eyes up and your chin up, no one's going to be noticing.
No one's going to look down at your feet. No one's going to look down at your feet. And so one of the other questions that you had, caller, was trying to figure out how to balance different mentors along the way. A question that I had for you, Lisa, was sometimes I think people are saying they want a mentor, but sometimes they want a mentor and sometimes they want a sponsor.
Yes.
And so I wanted to ask you, just in case our caller is thinking about mentors and sponsors, to give a little bit of time to the distinction between a mentor and a sponsor.
Sure. And it is an important distinction. I'm glad that you reiterated that. So a mentor is, I think, more familiar to people. It's somebody that can give you advice, somebody that can be a shoulder to cry on, everything in between, and who's, you know, got experience and can help guide you based on their experiences. A sponsor is someone who is willing to expend their political capital in whatever work environment you are in to help you get to the next level. And so, you know, I've had dozens and dozens of mentors along the way, but I had one sponsor who really put it all on the line for me at my firm to help get me nominated and ultimately voted into the partnership. And that's the big distinction. It's one thing to give advice. It's another thing for people to really put their own neck on the line for you with their reputation and really, you know, go to bat for you with management, whether it be in a law firm situation like mine or in other businesses as well.
And so what do you think? Do you have to do anything different to appeal to a sponsor than you would for a mentor, or is it kind of the same?
I think it's different. You know, again, there are so many different paths. There's not just one way. But for me, when I realized that I wanted to go for partner at my firm, it was a very distinct defining decision. It didn't just happen. I didn't just want to wake up one day and say, maybe I'll be a partner. And I, you know, created my business plan, which I share with people that I mentor from time to time. And I think they sort of giggle at my little arts and crafts 2-page slide deck with beautiful purple shading. But hey, that's my favorite color. And it worked.
And it worked.
So I went and cornered both the head of my New York office, as well as the global chair of my department, you know, separately, but on the same day, you know, and just arrived at their offices unexpected, unannounced, and uninvited, and said, "Do you have a minute?" And then I plopped down on that chair with my business plan and I said, "So I want to be a partner, and here's my plan, and here's what I've been doing, and here's what I am going to continue doing. I would like to know from you, what can I do more of? What should I do less of? What should I start doing that I've never even thought of before that will position you to be able to very easily support me?" And I mean, how can you say no to that?
Seriously.
Honestly. Besides, I made sure to position myself between where they were sitting and the door.
In case you had to hightail it out of there.
Yes. So that's how it got started.
That's amazing. And so basically, Color, it sounds like if you're seeking out mentors and sponsors, it's good to know what the ask is from the sponsor. And I mean, to a certain extent, from a mentor too. Mm-hmm. People like to be given guidance. And sometimes it's easy for people to show up for you when you give them a roadmap.
Agreed.
Right?
Agreed. You have to help them help you. You have to make it easy. I can't tell you how many young attorneys in and out of my firm that I mentor. And, you know, I'll go out on a limb and I'll make an introduction. I'll reach out and I'll do a little something extra and bring them into my network. And they're so thankful and grateful. And oh my gosh, thank you so much. I can't thank you enough for taking the time. And my response is generally, you make it easy. You make it very easy to go the extra mile for you. And I think that is an important takeaway for folks, is that you want to make it easy on the person that you're asking something of. Because then how can they say no?
How can they say no? I think the other thing too is thinking about different ways to stand out in a good way. We don't want to stand out in the bad way,
correct,
right, Lisa?
Correct.
And one of my mentors, who is a general counsel of a pretty large and well-known company, one of the things that I loved about her was that she had so many great things going on. She was a mom. She had an MA in international policy studies, just like I did, international relations. And we had so many things in common. But I was like, wow, she's general counsel of this major company. And what can I do for her? You know, I was I was a mid-level associate at a law firm, and I met her, and I was such a big fan of hers that I wanted to be in her life and I wanted to get to know her better. And so I invited her for breakfast. She met me for breakfast. We really hit it off. We talked about all things going on in the world. And then that was it. I thanked her for her time. And then fast forward to a few months went by, and there was a woman who had an amazing stationery company. Shout out to Effie's Paper, by the way. Great company. And she released a new line of stationery called Mercy. Mm-hmm. And I was like, wow, this GC, I think she'll love it. I'm just going to order a stack for her and send it to her. And I did. And do you know, she was so thankful, so grateful. She remembered it. She always mentions it. And I felt like that was just a good way, a small way to give back, to show her how much I was thinking about her and how much I really appreciated her taking the time to have breakfast with me. She has a busy schedule. And to this day, even when someone provides a recommendation letter for me, I try to send them a small token of my appreciation, a plant, for example. Mm-hmm. And the point I'm making, hopefully the point I'm trying to make in all those long-winded anecdotes, is that sometimes you have to think about ways to think outside of the box, and doesn't have to be a super expensive way to express your gratefulness. You can use your words. You can send something that's thoughtful. I had someone the other day said they sent their favorite book to someone who had done something really nice for them because it was something that was impactful in their lives. And people really appreciate thoughtful presents like that.
Yes. Okay. I have to admit, I have to be a little bit better about that. You're talking to a girl who does not even send Christmas cards. Not ever. Not once.
I don't do it either.
I just never wanted to set the precedent, because the next year when I just don't find the time, people are going to think that, you know, they got off the list and now I don't like them and I don't want to have to get these phone calls. But I think you're right. And you know what? It's always very meaningful for me when I get little tokens like that. And I somebody last week sent me a small book of their favorite poems and pointed me to one called The Journey. Because I'm, you know, in the middle of, you know, my path to total global domination, as I've talked to you about a little bit. And so is it just a thank you for participating and closing out a gala last week. And I thought it was such a nice gesture and it was so unexpected. So you know what, that's going to be on my to-do list of, you know, be a better person.
You're an excellent person. You're an excellent person. And what's amazing about it, Lisa, is we're just talking about different ways to give back, because I think the caller was focusing on how to seek out mentors, but I want to change the focus a little bit to think about how you can mentor other people. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's small things like that, even having this conversation with you, that could plant the seed for someone to say, oh, this is a great idea. Maybe I'll try it out in my own way.
Sure. You know, I think it's really important to sort of give back. It's been a tough road for me. It hasn't been easy. I would never change the way that I got here, the way that I got in, but I've had a lot of very interesting twists and turns and challenges. And when I go through really frustrating situations, I try to remember that it was a lot harder for the people before me. And I say this to other people that I mentor when they're going through something frustrating. And I have this line that I always say, which is, everyone has to live with their own fact pattern. And some parts of that fact pattern are really bad. And I have my own bad fact pattern. You've got yours. But at the end of the day, it was easier for me than the people before me. And it's going to be easier for you because of things I went through. And you're going to carry on and it's going to be easier for the next people. And so I think that to me is a really important message to people about making sure to reach back and find opportunities to be an available mentor. And it doesn't have to be in a formal way. You know, if you're getting to be a more senior executive, or in my world, lawyer, you know, just taking the time to really reach down into the junior associate ranks and, you know, pluck a couple out of the forest and take them out to lunch, take them out to coffee, spend just a little bit of extra one-on-one time. Think about what it's like when you were really junior, when that senior person or that partner invited you to lunch or to a coffee, or you had that sidebar 30-minute conversation and how impactful that was for you. And to them, it may have just been, you know, and one random 30-minute segment out of the day, but to you, it really meant something and maybe inspired you in a way. So it's important to remember that as you're getting more senior, that now you're that guy.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what's funny? As I think about my career path as an attorney, I always did the best work that I can do, but I feel like I went an extra mile for people who made time for me, who took me to coffee, who
yes.
spent that time on me and invested in me and sponsored me.
Yes, yes, that's true. And you know what? Also, I think this is just kind of a sort of a general thing, not really tied to mentoring, but I think also kindness goes a long way. And, you know, I sort of had this joke running for a few years about, you know, my business plan has a strict policy about the kinds of people that I want to work with. And I'm really proud of myself. I really have a lovely roster of clients who I really like. I really enjoy the people. And so I never mind going the extra mile. I never mind dealing with that, you know, oops, sorry, there's a fire drill, because of that. And so I try and be mindful about that in my own approach, because I want people to want to pull out the stops and do an all hands on deck for me when I need it and I'm in a jam. And so it's important to, you know, remember to be kind.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, caller, I think we've provided a lot of different ways that you can seek out mentors. We've talked about different ways that you can mentor others. And we even provided the, you know, general definition of a mentor versus a sponsor. So we'd like to know how you're doing. Feel free to call us back. Lisa will be a recurring co-host on this show. She's so dynamic that we have to continue to share her with the world. And so please let us know how it's going. Let us know how you're doing. And if we can continue to provide some support, we would love to, because we're kind of mentors too.
Absolutely.
Right?
All day long.
All day long. So let's go to our next call.
You have one message.
Hi, Damali. This is Jennifer. I wanted to ask how to maintain a healthy budget without limiting yourself greatly, right? So you can enjoy yourself as well. Thank you.
So, Jennifer, it sounds like your question was, how do you maintain a healthy budget without limiting yourself like crazy? And how can you just enjoy yourself with what you have? Well, Lisa, we like to have fun.
A healthy budget. Oh, this is a tough one. You know, so it depends on what the budget is, but we all want to do more with less.
Yes.
You know, listen, I'm just going to put it right out there. When I walked in today and you said I was wearing my power suit, I've got six of these suckers in two different sizes from overstock.com, all head to toe, you would not believe how inexpensive this ensemble is, but you find something that works and you replicate.
Yes.
You have to pick and choose. I think that it's super important to identify the things that are really important to you. So even when I was on the biggest shoestring budget, I decided that, you know, I could spend money on health. So even if I wasn't getting to the gym, I felt okay paying for that gym membership because that's the thing that I don't mind spending my money on.
Right.
You know, I clean my own floors and toilets and that way I could go to the gym. I love to cook, as you know, Damali.
You're an amazing cook.
But that is another thing. I don't need to go out to restaurants because, you know, half the time, I make that Mexican street corn salad.
So delicious.
Better than anything we're going to get out there. So I think finding things that are enjoyable, but that can help you stay within budget, like, you know, learn how to cook, do that instead of going out, figure out what your priorities are. And those are the things that you can spend on. And you'll find that if you make small changes, maybe you don't go to Starbucks every day. Maybe you pick once a week, that's your Starbucks day. Maybe one day instead of taking an Uber, you take a taxi. And then the next day instead of taking a taxi, you take the subway. And then the next day instead of taking the subway, you take a walk, you know? So little things like that. But I mean, I have to admit, I haven't always been the best on staying on budget. But I guess that keeps me working really hard.
What I love about what you said is that there's so many ways to change your routine and still be on track and think about the budget. I like thinking about making small changes. Even for me, I love Starbucks. I was going quite frequently. And then I realized, one, what I'm going to get is usually an espresso. So I bought an espresso machine. Mm-hmm. I have one in my office, one at my home. And now instead
one
of
in your purse.
One in my purse. I keep one with me. I have to keep caffeinated now. You know, I didn't need coffee until I started practicing law.
That's
before
surprising.
That, I was a Red Bull kind of gal. And so what's great is that it's making small changes can have a big impact. And what I also liked about what you said is figuring out where to make those changes. So mm-hmm. you love to cook instead of going out all the time, and I'm assuming ordering, you cook, mm-hmm. you enjoy it, and you save money.
Yep.
Thinking about going to the gym, thinking about ways to do more housework and things like that. And going for a walk is a great way to avoid paying for Uber now with those new – I mean, I love Uber, but there are so many new surcharges in New York City mm-hmm. that is so expensive that I even walked to work the other day. It took me 30 minutes, and I kind of meditated, Lisa. Like, it was
yes.
great. I was taking it all in. I saved time and money, and I felt like I had done my exercise for the day.
That's right. You've got your steps. Everyone needs their steps.
Everyone has to get their steps in. And so it sounds like you want to maintain a healthy budget without limiting yourself. And so I would probably first start with writing down what you have to do with the money that you have, mm-hmm. right? So figuring out what you're working with. And then two, I think it's always important to have that kind of splurge, you know, put into the budget. So mm-hmm. what is that splurge for you?
I guess for me, it always relates to food. I mean, let's be honest. I really cannot stand overspending on groceries, but I have to admit my splurge is definitely Whole Foods.
Oh, yeah.
It's the herbs at Whole Foods. I can't help it. And it kills me to go and stand in line and pay that much for cilantro and dill. But frankly, it's like brown and gross everywhere.
It's so true.
I can't tell you. So that's probably my splurge. But and it's changed over the years, depending. And when
yes.
my kids were really little, it was, that diapers.com order. Oh,
yes.
That was the luxury item.
It showed up every day. You're just like, wow.
Exactly. It depends, the little things. But you know what? I think that to your point, writing down, so what are the musts, right? You've got to keep the roof over your head. You've got to keep the lights on, food in the fridge. Beyond that, everything's a little bit negotiable. And I think also if you have sort of an accountability buddy,
yes.
like you would going to the gym or what have you, maybe that's the person that you take the walk with or you, cook dinner with and split the grocery cost and, cook for the week. And then you've got your, two nights of a month that you can go out with your friends and really splurge. But I definitely, am not beyond, having a little dinner party in the one bedroom apartment with 15 people and, paper cups and some 40 ounces. What can I say? Been there, done that.
Well, what I love about that, Lisa, is there are so many ways that you can work with people to meet your goals, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so I had one person who I work with at my prior company, and she and I were always trying new ways to be healthy. And so one week she would make all the snacks, and then the next week I would make all the healthy snacks. And I didn't even think about it as being a way to budget. I thought it was a way to save time, right? Mm-hmm. We're both working, we're both attorneys, but it's also a way to save. If you think about it, you're not buying snacks for, you know, a whole month, but instead 2 weeks out of the month. So I like that idea.
I think another important thing to do is check what you have as a recurring auto payment. Mm. I did this recently for myself, and I just cleared the decks, and there were monthly subscriptions to things that I forgot that I even had. And, you know, $1.25 a month. It wasn't a big deal,
but because
it wasn't a big deal, I wasn't paying attention to it, nor was I using it. So I may as well have just fished out that $1.25 and thrown it on the street every day. And I'm not going to do that. So.
Yeah, that's actually a great idea. You know, now that you mention it, I'm pretty certain that when Beyonce dropped Lemonade, I bought a Tidal subscription that I've never used, and I still haven't seen Lemonade. And I think that was like 2 years ago in April.
It's time.
That's actually really great advice. So for you, caller, I just want you to think about some of the ideas that we shared, writing down everything that you need, thinking about the money that you have to allocate. What are the musts? What are the splurge ideas? What are some ways you can work with a friend? Thinking about having an accountability partner, that's a great idea. Someone who you can walk with, share some of the cooking responsibilities with. I think accountability partners can help in so many different ways to help you kind of stay on track and accomplish your goals. Also thinking about ways that you can think outside of the box. I'm always a big fan of doing that. So instead of going to a restaurant, thinking about cooking more, instead of going to the movies all the time, maybe you want to think about some subscriptions to some of these great programs like Netflix, Hulu, etc. There's so many different things you can do. But in the meantime, we love to hear from you and hear about your journey, hear if you were able to implement some of these great ideas that we have, and just keep us posted. Sounds
Absolutely.
Awesome. So we'd like to thank you all for tuning in today. Callers, thank you so much for such amazing content. We really appreciate it. And Lisa, you are just phenomenal. Thank you so much.
Oh, I'm happy to be here. This is fantastic.
Oh, it's so fun. I feel like the audience only had a chance to get a glimpse of your amazing personality, so we have to have you back on the show.
Anytime.
So, everyone, I am your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day. Do you have any barriers that we can help you break through? If so, you can leave a brief message at 646-363-6322 or on our interactive blog at www.breakthroughadr.com. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn at the @BREAKTHROUGH AAD R. I'm your host, Damali Peterman, and this is Breakthrough Barriers with Damali. Although I am a lawyer, mediator, and an educator, and many of my co-hosts will represent various professions, we want to be clear that we are not providing legal advice, counseling, or suggestions. Our goal is to provide a roadmap for conflict resolution to generate future conflict resolvers. Continue to break through and have a wonderful day.